views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my mission is to help you tune in to your vibrant, powerful self so that you can feel healthy, happy, and supported, whether you're at home, at work, or at play. My guest today knows all about healthy and happy, especially as it relates to hormones. Her name is Nikki Williams, and she wrote a wonderful book called It's Not You, It's Your Hormones, which I read and just totally fell in love with and knew that I just had to have her on the show. And thankfully, she agreed. So here's a little bit of her official bio. After failing to find any medical help for her health issues herself in her early 40s, Nikki discovered that she could turn things around using diet, lifestyle, and natural supplements. She is now an award-winning nutritionist, author, speaker, and a leading expert in women's health and hormones. She is the founder of Happy Hormones for Life, which is also the name of her website, just add on a .com, so happyhormonesforlife.com, where she helps women in their 40s and 50s feel better than they did in their 30s. Today, Nikki is here to show you how to naturally fight fat, fatigue, and hormone havoc so that you can find your way back to your best self. Now, if you've been with me for a while, then you know that this is definitely a topic that is near and dear to my heart. Due to my own health challenges, and one of my children has also had health challenges that are definitely hormone related. So I'm very passionate about this topic. And I'm really quite blown away by how little we are told about hormones as we're growing up and how rarely they seem to come into the health conversation with our doctors. I mean, I'm 51 and I have to say hormones hardly come up unless my doctor is asking me about menopause. And even then it's just about replacement, hormone replacement therapy. So I am super excited to have Nikki here to talk to us about these really important chemical messengers that our bodies need and that affect us every single day. So Nikki, welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show.
Thank you, Debbie. Really, really good to be here.
You know, it feels like forever to me since we set this interview up, and I have just been like a child waiting for something special like Christmas or a holiday or something. I'm like, when did it happen? Yeah. So I am so thrilled to finally be having this conversation on air with you because I just think it's such a critical topic, and I love your take on it as well. So
thank you.
Well, you are very welcome. So why don't we start with a bit more of your story, especially as it relates to being a mom?
Yeah, I was a pretty high-flying career girl. I worked in corporate up until I had my kids. I went back with the first one, but then the second one came along and gosh, life was hard after that. It was a real struggle. I had obviously with two young kids, so I had more to juggle. But the stress, I couldn't cope with the stress very well. I was exhausted all day long. I had a belly tire around my middle that I couldn't fit with my usual fad diets. You know, I've always had a relationship with my weight that's been a sort of yo-yo one all my life, but I've always been managed to control it up until this time when it just didn't seem to happen for me. The diets didn't work. But most of all, the biggest problem I had was that I was incredibly snappy and grumpy, and I'd literally just lost my mojo. I'd lost the joy in my life. And it was a time when, you know, I had young kids and I was very, very aware that I wasn't getting the joy that I should be getting from having a young family. And I looked around me, and I was in my early 40s, and many women were doing the same. They were having the same pressures, the same juggles, and kind of like we all looked a bit like zombies, really, just kind of getting by. And it wasn't until my daughter came home from school one day, and she was trying. I was washing up at the kitchen sink, and I was exhausted from my day at work. And my boss had asked me to do a report for the next day, and I was thinking, "Oh my god, when am I going to do this thing? My brain's not working, and it's late, and I just want to go to sleep." And she comes running in, with a picture in her hand, a picture she'd drawn at school of a giraffe, which she kind of was my favourite animal. So she came, "Mummy, look what I've done at school." And I turned around and I said, "Not now, Sasha," and I kind of shouted at her. And she looked at me with feisty eyes and she said, "Mommy, why are you always so grumpy?" And at that moment, this sweet little girl that, you know, was shouting at me, I just melted and realized that I'd, you know, I turned into this person I never ever wanted to be. I never had kids to be this grumpy mum. I wanted to be a fun mum, and that fun had really just gone in my life. So I went to my doctor. I told him all my symptoms. Over here we have, you know, like about a 10-minute appointment. By the end of that, I took up the whole 10 minutes.
You could fit them in 10 minutes.
And at the end of it, he hadn't even looked at me. He was typing away, and at the end of it, he just gave me a prescription. And I looked down and it said Prozac on it, which was the antidepressant of the day back then. Mm-hmm. And I looked at it and I thought, gosh, what? This is for depression. I know I'm not depressed. And I told him that, and he goes, no, it'll make you feel better. And he literally ushered me out of his surgery. And I got home and I looked at this thing and I just thought, well, maybe it is that. And I was really confused. But you know what? I'm incredibly lucky to have a dad who is a medical doctor, but he's very much into nutrition and natural solutions. And of course, you know, he's my dad. He's the last person I'd probably go to with hormone issues. But I did have to go to him. I rang him up and I said, "Look, Dad, this is what the doctor wants me to do, and this is what's happening." And I hadn't really told him anything before. And he goes, "No, don't worry, Nick. You're 42. It'll be your hormones. You're in perimenopause." And I was shocked. I said, "What? I'm in what?" What? It's the first time I'd ever heard that word. And he says, "Yeah, it's the transition up to menopause." And I said, what do you mean? What are you talking about? I'm far too young for that." No, you're not. It can start at 35. And I said, "What?" Again, I was just in absolute shock. And it wasn't until I said, "No, you can't. This can't be right. You know, none of us, nobody knows this stuff. What are you talking about?" But he said he'd got me tested. So we did some tests and we ran some tests, and everything came back all over the place, all sitting on the floor. And, you know, at that moment, I just thought, okay, this is, you know, real. This is not in my head. Much relief flowed through me. But at the time, I was thinking, what is this? This is crazy. Is this what's happening to everyone? When he told me about my hormones and how I had to look after them, I then realized that I had to change some things, but not drastically, just a few things. And they weren't difficult things. They were very simple. But within a few weeks, they were making a huge difference. I was losing the weight. I had got my energy back, my brain fog lifted, and I was a much nicer person to be around. So I realized that there was some real power in this. And that's when I decided to give up my corporate world and retrain.
Right. Wow. You know, there's so many pieces in that story that you just shared, and I just want to pick out a couple of them, because I think for so many of us, like, we have an image of the kind of parent we want to be before we have our kids, right? Yeah. And even when they're babies. And then, you know, life just gets in the way, and suddenly you're being pulled in so many directions. There's so much going on. Your child is growing. They're not always the little sweetheart that you, you know, had envisioned when you were thinking about being a parent. And it's very interesting, because so many of us do find ourselves in that spot, right? When you were there at that kitchen sink, where you kind of turn around and react and suddenly think, who am I? Why am I being this person? This is not who I want to be to my kids. So I love that insight, that recognition that, you know, I don't want to be a grumpy mom. I really want to be a fun mom. Mm. And yet this is my life, right? Yeah. And if you do nothing about it, it's very hard to turn anything around. You weren't being grumpy on purpose.
No, and I hadn't been doing anything about it for at least 18 months, 2 years. I'd been living like that, thinking, you know, actually your motivation, your energy is so low that you actually just can't, your sole focus is on getting through the day. That's how I felt. And, you know, thinking about, you know, the long term or getting help or whatever, it just kind of wasn't even on my radar. And it's not until you have a trigger like that. Mine was my daughter, but, you know, other people have other triggers. And sometimes it's quite a serious health scare, you know, that's your major trigger. But, you know, if we can get to get help before that happens, you know, that you're in a much better place. But you know, luckily mine was more of a, you know, my kids triggering me. But that was my particular weakness, I think, in my vulnerability. But
that thing that snaps, grabs your attention, right? Yeah. That thing that just, you know, makes you think, I've got to do something. Because I think that it's very easy for us to think that, okay, just when this project is done, it's just because of this report. It's just because of this financial concern. It's just, you know, once this is over, I'll be able to take some time and then I can be that fun person. And then it turns out that even when those things are done, you're not in physical shape. There's stuff going on in your body that won't make it easy or let it be easy for you to be the person you want to be. So let's talk about some of that stuff, because
you can't just switch it on. You see, that's the thing. It's not, it's actually physical changes. So you can't just, you know, just decide not to be like that anymore, because these changes are ruling you so much that it changes your behavior. So
absolutely,
to have any willpower over that.
Yes. Well, and I can remember many, many times deciding, okay, I'm just not going to be, you know, I'm going to be happy and fun. And then something would happen and I'm yelling at the dog all of a sudden and I'm going, huh, that really lasted long. What the heck? So I'm wondering if maybe we should give a little synopsis of the main hormone changes a woman faces, if that would be helpful. Obviously, we can't get into any great detail, but just, you know, some of the main ones.
Yeah, I call it the hormonal journey, if you like. So from your first period in puberty, you go into your reproductive years, where you're fertile, mostly. We're fertile, we're on top form, our hormones are all in the right ratios and they're all nicely balanced and we've got lots of energy, we have sex drive, we have, you know, nicely balanced moods and all of those things that, you know, prepares the baby to come into the world because your body wants you to be on top form. And then mostly, I mean, obviously there's lots of other things going on for that age group that, you know, I'm talking generalization here, but
right.
But then when we get to around 35, and this is what shocks most women actually, is that's when our hormones start to change. Our ovarian reserve is declining, so our eggs are running out. We're not ovulating every single month necessarily. And this is, you know, different for every woman, but I'm talking generally again. But generally around the age of 35, our hormones start to change, fluctuate and decline. And this can be quite a dramatic decline. It can be very gradual. It can affect you quite, it can be quite debilitating for a lot of women, and a lot of women just sail through it with no problems at all. But around 80% of us will have symptoms of some kind during this period. And it goes up until the final period of menopause. And menopause is actually officially a year after your final period. So that's when you enter postmenopause. So, and that's average age of around 51, 52. So we're looking at around, you know, potentially around 17 years of hormone changes, which is a big part of a woman's life.
You can ruin a lot of relationships in that time.
Well, and it does, believe me. You know, how many people do you know going through relationship problems during this time? And it's not all about the relationship. It's often about these hormonal issues because they can put a real strain on relationships.
Absolutely. You know, I have to just throw in a little curveball because I think that for a lot of people, like myself included, I was on birth control pills in my late teen years. And by the time I met my husband, I didn't know at the time that he was going to be my husband, but I'd already decided, okay, this isn't working for me. I need to go off of the pills because I didn't know they were the problem, but I was already really struggling with hormone fluctuation. I had no idea. It's looking back now that I know my imbalance with hormones started in my 20s because probably, you know, because of the birth control pills and such. Mm-hmm. And so then by the time I got into the 35-year-old decline, I'd had two kids by then and I was just a mess. Hormone-wise, total mess, but had no idea, you know, what was going on. And neither did the doctors. So what are some common symptoms that might be misdiagnosed or, you know, that get blamed on other things? Certainly I experienced a lot of that. So maybe you could share some of those with us.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the symptoms are, you know, can be very generic. So we've got, you know, weight gain, you know, well, the doctor might turn around and say, well, just eat less, right? Okay. Which isn't really helpful. You know, fatigue is a big one. And yet, you know, fatigue, you know, a lot of people are tired, and that can depend on your circumstances as well, and your genetics and your history and whatever. So, and your diet and lifestyle. So again, those two things. We've got all the sort of psychological issues like brain fog and anxiety and mood swings, which, you know, can often be misdiagnosed as kind of mental health issues as well. Mm-hmm. So there's a big crossover there. And then, you know, you have got the more specific symptoms. I mean, PMS is another one that you know, often women don't put down to the menopause, actually, because they think, well, the menopause is about no periods. But your periods can get very, very painful and heavy in the run-up to that. And, of course, erratic and irregular and all of those things too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hot flushes and night sweats are the obvious symptoms. But all those other symptoms, and there's a ton more, you know, digestive issues can come to the fore. You've got skin complaints, you've got hair loss, you know, brittle nails, although, you know, they're more aesthetic things. But you know, very, very debilitating symptoms, and they can be misdiagnosed. And the doctor can, unless you say you've got sort of hot flushes or night sweats, they're not really thinking menopause. They're thinking maybe something else. Right. So you might get a whole array of tests that you probably don't need, or you might not get any tests at all. And that's often the case when I talk to my clients who say, well, they're in two camps. They either haven't had any tests done because the doctor doesn't think they're necessary, or that they have had tests done and they've been told they're normal. I'm doing these air quotes here because normal comes back. In varying degrees, and I look at a lot of so-called normal tests, and they're certainly nothing like normal to me. So you know, so women aren't really getting the support in the medical world, and you know, then they go onto the internet and they go into Dr. Google and they look up their symptoms, and because these symptoms are so generic and so wide-ranging, they end up hours and hours of overwhelming information about all kinds of other stuff, because actually they're not realizing that it's down to hormones. So they're thinking that they've got something else, or they're going down the wrong path, or they've been told they need to be taking these supplements, and they're like, you know, their friend has told them it's a good idea. So they've sort of led down lots of rabbit holes. And, you know, as well as the lack of support and the huge confusion, you know, that's why women can often feel really, really out of control and not getting the help that they need.
Absolutely. I know for myself, with food intolerances, brain fog is a very real thing in my world. And I just thought it was normal. Like, I didn't think everybody had brain fog. I just felt it was a part of who I am, like as if I was just slow, that, you know, there was days where I felt like I was pushing my way through molasses, like they like to say, just, you know, I could not make my brain function, or I couldn't make it remember things. And I think, you know, oh, why was I given this faulty brain? What's the matter with me, kind of thing? And the doctors really, like you say, said in your introduction of your own story, often their answer is things like Prozac. Well, you must be depressed, or you're anxious. Well, yeah, I'm anxious. I can't remember anything. You know, I'm dropping off in mid-sentence, and I can't even begin to think about where I was going. And what's up with that? So,
and that's really scary for a lot of people too, because, you know, we know about the statistics for dementia and Alzheimer's, and particularly if you have that in the family. How scary is that if you're constantly foggy and you can't remember things? And, you know, absolutely. A lot of that is just down to hormones. So if we can get to the bottom of the hormone imbalance, then we can lift that fear off people as well, which is a horrible thing to live with.
Absolutely. And I think there's one other area that we probably should touch on, because I know some women who have babies and their hormones go out of whack after having the babies, just because of everything mm-hmm. going on, probably their lifestyle and eating and everything comes into it as well. And then their libido drops mm-hmm. and they have all kinds of issues where they're very dry and it feels like, okay, I mean, my sex life is over. At, you know, 30. Anything you want to say about that?
Well, I have got a blog on this actually on my site, but it libido is a terrible one. It really is. And it's very much the last thing that comes out of a conversation when I have a conversation with a woman, because, you know, something that I don't want to generally shout about, but it's a really big one for affecting relationships as well. So, and not only, you know, with the partner, but the woman herself and how she feels about herself.
Yeah. And what's wrong with me? I'm just not turned on anymore. And then they might think, okay, maybe he's the problem. You know, if it is a him, you know, my partner is.
And that loss of intimacy it can be a real problem. A lot of couples live with it, but it's not ideal for many. So they don't want to live with it. And there are some really simple solutions, you know, for libido, it can be stress related. Mm-hmm. So you can have too much cortisol running around, and what cortisol does is it suppresses your sex hormones, because you can imagine cortisol is your stress hormone. So when you're in a stressful fight or flight situation, which most of us are in now 24/7, then, you know, the body is not going to worry about you having any arousal or bringing a baby into the world or you being, you know.
Right. Because it thinks you're running from that saber-toothed tiger.
Well, it's the last thing
you want that first.
Ready for, exactly. So the body's in survival mode. So it suppresses all your sex hormones. And of course, if you are too stressed, that is going to be one of the effects. As well as, you know, other cyclical things like PMS and pain and all that stuff. So cortisol is a big one. Thyroid is another one. So I'm going through my feisty four hormones.
I was just going to say, these are your feisty four, and they just naturally come into here. So let's go right into them. But I just want people to know, we're going to talk about feisty four. These are them. So go for it.
Yeah. These are the ones I describe in my book. Because these, you know, I did a lot of studying of hormones, and these four are the ones that really stood out to me, and to be the ones that really dictate how we look, feel, think, and behave after 40. And not just after 40, but they really come out after 40, and these are the ones that can really be problematic. So I talk about cortisol, stress hormone, and how it suppresses all your sex hormones, and it messes with your brain as well. So it can give you brain fog, fatigue, anxiety, overwhelm, all of those things as well. And cortisol is one of the ones that puts belly fat on, because we've got more cortisol receptors around our stomach area than anywhere else in the body. And if you think about it, that's the body's kind of storage area. So it's nice and easy to get hold of should you get attacked by that lion again, which the brain seems to think is happening all the time. So very likely it wants to put belly fat on there so that it can get a quick source of energy when it needs it. So if you're stressed, it's very hard to shift that belly fat. The next one is thyroid, and that's your metabolism regulator. So this is the hormone that gives every single cell in your body the energy it needs to do its job. And so when you have low thyroid, which is very common in women as they're going through menopause, is everything slows down, because the cells in your body don't have enough energy, so your brain slows down, so you get foggy, you get this feeling of sluggish fatigue, especially when you get up in the morning and you've had a really good night's sleep, but you just can't seem to get going, you know, that kind of feeling. Mm-hmm. Thyroid can also suppress your sex hormones too. So it can increase things like PMS and painful periods, but it can also reduce your libido. And that's something that can be very easily fixed with thyroid. And then there's your insulin, which is your blood sugar regulator. So this one, obviously we know takes blood sugar out of the blood when there's too much in there. But it's also, when it goes and takes the sugar away into your cells to create energy, it also knocks on the cell's door and says, look, I've got all this sugar here. Come on, you take it. And the cell goes, do you know what? I'm not running a marathon today. I don't really need that energy. And so shuts the door on it. So insulin is left with all this sugar and it doesn't know what to do with it. So it goes away and it stores it away as fat. So I call insulin your fat-storing hormone. And that's the one that if your blood sugar is out of balance, or you get that mid-afternoon slump, or you get that 3 o'clock in the morning wake up, it's often due to low blood sugar. Or you feel kind of dizzy, or before eating, you can't skip a meal because you just go crazy. Or you get that kind of hangry moment where you're just going to kill anything if you don't eat, that kind of thing.
Right.
That's always a sign of low blood sugar. And that's a sign that you might be on a blood sugar roller coaster, as I call it, where you're up and down all day long. And when you're up and down all day long, all you're doing is storing fat. So, and again, when insulin is around, when you've got too much of it, again, that's going to have an effect on your libido too. Because insulin is like an inflammatory hormone, so it's going to kind of have an effect on most of your bodily functions, if you like. And then you've got the last one, which is estrogen, and progesterone, which kind of work together. And of course, that has a huge impact on your sex drive, along with testosterone as well. The three of them can decline quite a bit during these perimenopausal years. And so if you're out of balance, or you haven't got enough, or you've got too much estrogen to progesterone, or too little estrogen, at all, then definitely libido is going to be affected. And of course, low estrogen levels are associated with not just hot flushes and night sweats, but dryness, particularly because estrogen is your kind of lubricating hormone. So you can imagine that you're going to be quite dry. It also lubricates your arteries and your vessels, your blood vessels. So it can increase the risk of cardio problems if you leave it too low for too long. And of course, it's really important for your bones too. So estrogen does an awful lot of things.
Absolutely, and we just hear about it as the estrogen that you might need to take something after menopause, that sort of thing, like the pregnant mare's urine estrogen that they used to talk about. And I know they still do, but I'm hoping people are becoming more and more aware that there's other options. And, so we hear about it. You hear about it, but you don't really necessarily understand why it's important or how the dance that it does with progesterone affects that PMS, for example, and how quickly you're ready to kill somebody that week or so before your period. So there's just so much to it. And it's such a critical conversation, I think, for people to have and to start talking about. And I feel like it's kind of swept under the rug, like, don't talk to me about women and hormones. this is a scary topic and we won't go there. So I don't know if you've noticed the time, but it has just zoomed on by. So there's so much more that could be shared on this topic. And so I really want to suggest to the listeners that they go and pick up a copy of your book. It's Not You, It's Your Hormones. You can get it on Amazon, and I will have a link up on the blog that is connected to this interview on my website at empoweringnrg.com. And you can also sign up for Nikki's Gift, which is a free hormone balancing guide. And that link will be up as well, but it is happyhormonesforlife.com/free-guide. And this, if you sign up for it, it's really packed with a lot of great information. And I love how you've made it, Nikki, so that it comes out kind of in little groupings so that you have time to digest it and understand it a little bit more.
Yeah, because we don't have a lot of time these days, do we? So
no, we don't. And it's too much information to take in, I think, all at once. So Nikki, thank you so much for coming on today's show and sharing this inspirational message with us. I really believe that the topic of hormones is an important one that we need to be talking about more, and not just when they go awry and start causing us troubles, but from puberty onwards. So thank you so much. A big thank you to my wonderful listeners. You're awesome. And I truly appreciate you. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik and her guest, Nikki Williams, wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of vibrant, powerful moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.